select song, you know, too. And it goes right along with what Brother Renzi was just talking about in Sunday school, how we need to trust the Lord and lean on Him for our help that we need. And this song fits right in with that. All right, let's have a word of prayer, Brother Carl.
Morning, Father. We thank you for us all being here together today and that we've all made it here safely. We thank you that we have a place to fellowship and we have the freedom to still fellowship. And though some of us may have to travel because of lack of people following you as we should, that we have to travel, thank God that we do have a place to come to, even though there is distance. Thank you for Brother Matt, who's here today with us, and he is a distance to travel. And most of the pastors that have been coming here to fill in and take care of us and keep the blessings going in here in this church. Pray for them each time they come and as they travel from all their destinations to preach and teach your word. Just give Brother Matt the strength with the Holy Ghost to guide him and give us the strength with the Holy Ghost to understand and learn and grow. Pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, let's take our hymn books again and turn to number 601. Trust the Lord because we know the firm foundation that is set before us. 601.
He's back on the board. You can read about it. What he's asking for is he's asking for a motorbike. A used motorbike will go for $550. So if anybody would like to contribute to that, stick it in an envelope, mark what it's for, and put it in the box back there. Just pray about it and see what we can do. And also, Pastor Reddy, all together, money that's coming in for Pastor Reddy, the giving, is a little low every month. The church keeps adding to it so we can send him his $370 that we do send him every month. So if anybody would like to contribute to that, to Pastor Reddy each month, that would be greatly appreciated. So I just want to make everybody abreast of what's going on in financial. Everything else is fine. All right? Thanks. Oh, yeah, the need is for a motorbike is before we gave him money because he was taking the bus because he didn't have a motorbike. So we were giving him, so we asked for a collection of money so he can get a pass to take the bus. The bus only takes him to certain locations. He can't get to the villages he normally gets, to some of the villages he normally gets to. So that's why he needs a motorbike, because he can't get there by public transportation. Okay. Any more questions?
Just a couple announcements from me. I mentioned this one in Sunday school, but I neglected to say what the date was. Cliff Zimmerman will be here November 7th, which is two Wednesdays from now, at 7 o'clock p.m. to speak. Those of you who come on Sunday know that he was here a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning. He was a real blessing. So we're trying to give you as much notice as we can so that those of you who sometimes get here on Wednesdays and sometimes not will try to get here and be here for that service at 7 p.m. Thanksgiving Eve service. Boy, Thanksgiving is coming up on us real quick. Wow. November 21st, 7 o'clock p.m., as we have done in the past, we will have a praise and testimony service. And then following that, a fellowship time downstairs. Bring some good food. We're not having a complete meal or anything like that, just desserts, finger foods, things like that. Okay? So hope you'll come and join us, and we'll have a good time. And then last but not least, we have plenty of the new 2019 church calendars available. There are some here on the other side of the organ, on the side of the platform, and on that table in the back. Please take as many as you can use, okay? If you have friends, relatives, loved ones, whoever they might be, that may not come to a church, but might take something like this that has the gospel in it, and God can use that to be an influence. And so if you have people like that or who are a distance away from this area and obviously would not be able to attend our services, they might receive a blessing from having a calendar. So please take as many as you can use. All right. So that's all the announcements I have right now. Let's take our books again. 613. Trusting Jesus, that is all.
Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting us.
Special one message, number 663. God's word tells us that when we have troubles, one of the reasons we have them is so we can help and encourage others who are going through troubles. And that's what this song, number 663, is all about. Make me a blessing to someone today. Let's stand, please, as we sing. Brother Matt was singing, "Where Could I Go But To the Lord?" I want you to come up and sing that song with me. Come on, come on up and sing that song. I've never done that before. Sure. There's the words. Just sing lead. Whatever. Melody, the melody. All right.
Living me you tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along this sweet accord. God, when my soul tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul.
I hope you couldn't hear much of me on that. I'm what's that? Amen. That's a great song, though. You know, I changed the word at the end. I don't know if you noticed that. It's not, where can I go to get a friend to help me in the end? I need a friend to help me to the end. Amen. And some people think, yeah, I'll just live life and at the end I'll get a hold of the Lord and the Lord will get a hold of me. No. We need him to the end, not in the end. Amen. And that's what it's all about. All right. Well, if you have a Bible, and I kind of wish I would have saved the message this morning, but I didn't know that I had the message this morning. Because all the songs this morning that we sang went with Sunday school. And so I'll tell you. But nonetheless, if you have a Bible, would you turn to the book of Jude? The book of Jude. Jude is right before the book of Revelation. Jude is one chapter. Jude, right before Revelation. This morning I want to share something I had prepared already, but then again, even in preparation, I always pray, you know, for the Lord's guidance and direction, that's for sure. We may have something written down, but I often pray for the Lord to speak to us and speak to everybody. He can meet our needs, amen? We might write it out and prepare, and I think everybody, you ought to be prepared, you know, to speak, but always let the Lord have his will and his way in the speaking. I don't need to get it done. I just need to be able to speak for the Lord and hopefully something from the Lord. Jude, would you look at verse number 3 with me, if you would, please, this morning. The Bible says in Jude, verse number 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Most people, when they hear this verse, they automatically think of that thought of earnestly contending for the faith, which is a great thought within this. We need to earnestly contend for the faith, that's for sure. The faith meaning the body of truth right here, the book, the Bible. Once delivered, once and for all delivered, by the way. There's no more, nobody's going to stand up, nobody should be able to stand up and say, well, God revealed something to me last night, we need to add to the book, amen? No, we have the Bible, and that's how we know God's word, amen? By the way, that's how we differentiate between what God is saying and what the preacher's saying. Hopefully, they're both saying the same thing, amen? But when the preacher said something contrary to the word of God, then we should question that, amen? We want to be believers of the word of God, that's for sure. Earnestly contending for the faith is a wonderful, wonderful truth, and we need to contend for this faith, this book right here, especially in the day and age we live in. I would often say, I preach a message on morality, and I would often say we live in an immoral world, and by the way, we do. By the way, I heard somebody say this, that to you and I that are saved, it's an immoral world we live in. And the reason we can say that is because we have a morality based on the word of God. We compare the morality of the world to the word of God and we say they're immoral. It's an immoral world. But I heard somebody say that the world don't see it that way. And they don't. The unsaved people that are not married and they're shacking up and living together, they don't see themselves as immoral. You know that, right? In fact, we live in a day where they see themselves as amoral. Ah means no. No morality. See, we base morality or immorality based on the word of God, but a person who doesn't have no thought or view of the word of God, it's not right or wrong to them. It's life. Amen? You and I, by the grace of God, thank God we have a Bible that has a point of reference for us. It's a compass, for a moral compass. Amen? We are living in a day and an age where anything and everything is starting to go. It doesn't matter, amen? Whatever you feel like, whatever you want, you can have it and whatever, amen? And that's just bad. What happens when you get rid of the word of God? What happens when you get rid of God from society? Society just becomes a mess. By the way, and that's where we are today. The more of the society that gets rid of God, the more of a mess it becomes. There's no doubt about that. And you could actually see a glimpse of that if you study the book of Judges in the Old Testament. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And my, what a terrible time period it was, amen? And that's where we are today in the world, amen? But thank God for those that are saved and those that are knowing the right way according to the word of God and trying to live the right way. And by the way, we are not perfect. There's nobody in here is perfect, amen? If you are, and may I ask you please to leave? Because you're going to ruin this church. A perfect person in this church is not going to help it, amen? And by the way, go to a perfect church. So you don't find one, amen? The only time you find a perfect church is where there are perfect people, and this ain't it, amen? Not until we get to heaven will everything be all right, amen, and be perfect. I want to focus on a thought this morning from this verse that says this, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, the common salvation, the common salvation. By the way, there's not a salvation that's different. You don't have a different, if you're saved, you're not saved differently than I'm saved. Amen? We are all saved. If you're saved, you're all saved by the same way, amen, by the same things and so on. The common salvation. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. I'm going to give you just some thoughts about the common salvation. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, as we open the word, we need your spirit to open our hearts, to see, to understand, to open our eyes, to open our minds. May we see and understand the truth and the truths of the word of God that we possibly can understand today. And may what we see and understand make a difference in our hearts and in our lives for your glory, for our good. We pray for your watch care over all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say this, that by the way, the way that I was provoked to think about this message that I'm going to preach this morning was, I was in Sunday school in a church in Philadelphia a couple years ago, and the preacher was from down south. The teacher was from down south. And he talked about down south, they had an expression. When somebody got saved and was excited and was on fire and just living for the Lord. Some people would say, I wish I got what he got when I got saved. And so this guy was expressing that in Sunday school, and it provoked my thinking. By the way, when you're sitting under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, your thoughts should be provoked. Can I get a witness on that one? You should be provoked to think, amen? And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about what he's saying was, a man is saying about a man who got saved and who's excited and who's living for the Lord, I wish I got what he got when I got saved. And what I thought was, I thought to myself, well, hold on a minute. What did that man that's on fire for the Lord, that's living right and just whatever, what did he get at his salvation that's different from what you got at your salvation? Why should you say, I wish I got what he got when I got saved? So this provoked me in my mind to think, hold on a minute here. I got to think about this a little bit more. Amen. And so I began to delve into the scriptures and to look at it. And I came up with the thought of no common salvation. One person don't get saved differently than another person gets saved. One person, we all get saved, by the way, the same way. Amen. And here's what I want you to get. Number one, I want you to see this. We all have the same salvation. And I'm going to tell you what kind it is. We all have the kind of salvation that comes by faith. In fact, in the book of Titus chapter 1, verse number 4, Paul the Apostle speaks about Titus. And he says he has a common faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse number 1, he uses the thought of a like precious faith. Hey, if you're saved, you're saved by faith. Amen. You see, what is the difference? What's the opposite of faith? Works. People think that they're saved by works when they're not saved by works. You can only be saved by faith. What is faith? Faith is what we just got done singing about. It's trusting the Lord. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he paid for your sin and my sin 100%. If he took my payment and paid for my sin 100%, there's absolutely nothing left over for me to pay for. Is that correct? Amen. And so there are people and religious groups that believe that Jesus paid most of their sin on the cross, but they got to go to church. They got to take communion. They got to be baptized. They got to do good works. They have to make the difference. You can't make no difference where there is no difference. Amen. Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him we owe. Amen. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for our sin debt. The gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is right there. You and I are sinners as human beings. We deserve God's judgment for all eternity. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Jesus died on the cross to take our sin away. When you and I believe in his resurrection from that grave, if you will, we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We trust that he paid our sin debt. Amen. We put our faith in him. By the way, we all have faith. Every one of us have faith. You say, how do I know you have faith? You're trusting the chair you're sitting in. Can I get a witness on that one? If you didn't trust the chair, you wouldn't sit in it. By the way, I didn't really see anybody examining chairs this morning neither. Like, you know, looking at it and saying, can I trust? You see, faith, we all have faith. We all have to make sure our faith is placed in the right place. And by the way, there are some sincere people who are placing their faith in the wrong place, in the wrong people, in the wrong program. Amen? They have faith. It's just misdirected. It's misguided. Our faith has found a resting place. Not in device nor creed. Amen. You and I are putting our faith in the precious word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Amen. And so you and I, by the word of God, we're placing our faith in what God's word says. Amen. Not what a religious man says, not what a religious institution says. For the life of me, I cannot understand how intelligent people put their faith in what a man says above what God's word says. Amen? When I leave this earth, My hope is not in what Pope so-and-so said or what Cardinal so-and-so said or Minister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so. My hope is in what God said. And as Paul said on that boat, as the Lord met with him and spoke to him, Paul said, for God told me something, and I believe God. I believe God. Amen. And so you and I that are saved, we're saved by faith and faith alone. Amen. We're saved by faith. If you have the same salvation I have, it's the one that's by faith. And here's another thing. It's the one that's for free. Amen. It's not something you paid for. Amen. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How can I be saved for free? Somebody had to pay for it. Yes, Jesus paid for it. Amen. Somebody takes you out for a meal. And you enjoy that meal, and at the end they take the check and paid for it. It was free to you, but somebody paid for it. Amen? And that's the way salvation is. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works. Boy, we could stop right there. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could work your way to heaven, you'd be able to boast and brag about it when you get there. Could you imagine being in heaven with Jesus and saying, step aside, Jesus, let me boast and brag about how I got here? Amen? How foolish that would be. Lest any man should boast, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? Is the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? We all have the same salvation. It's the one that's by faith. It's the one that's for free. And get this, it's the one that's forever. Amen. If you have the right kind of salvation, you can't lose it. You don't have to be good to keep it because you weren't good to get it. You and I that are saved, the Bible says we're kept by the power of God. Amen. I'm not kept by my own power. I'm kept by the power of God. You and I that are saved are safe forever. Amen. John chapter 10, Jesus said in verses 27 to 30, he said that you and I that are saved, we are in his hands and we're in the Father's hands. He said, I give these my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. You and I that are saved, we are double padlocked, I heard a preacher say one time. We're in the hands of Jesus, we're in the hands of God. I might throw in a third padlock. We are sealed by the Spirit of God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, we are sealed, if you will. Amen? You see, you got the same salvation. If you got the same salvation that I got, you got the one that's by faith, you got the one that's for free, and you got the one that's forever. You got the one that Hebrews 13, 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Once the Spirit of God comes in you at the moment of salvation, you are sealed by him. He'll never leave you until the day of redemption, the day that you go to be with the Lord. Amen? We are saved and we are safe. Thank God for that. That's the common salvation we have. You see, we have a common salvation. Let me give you another thought. We have not only the same salvation, we have the same Savior. We have the same Savior. By the way, there's only one Savior, right? Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one Savior. If you got the same salvation I got, then it had to be the Savior Jesus Christ. No other Savior. Not Muhammad. Not to Joseph Smith. No other Savior. Amen. One Savior. By the way, he's the one that died for us. Amen. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He tasted death, Hebrews 2:9, for every man. By the way, that's why I am not a Calvinist. I don't believe Jesus died for some men. I believe Jesus died for every man. He tasted death for every man. He's not just the propitiation or the satisfying payment for our sins, John said, but for the sins of the whole world. All we like sheep have gone astray. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took all our sin, all of humanity. But who will be saved? Those who hear and believe. That's it. Amen? But see, we all have the same Savior. He's the one that died for us. And by the way, he's the one that lives for us. He lives for us. You know, too many people only focus on the fact that our Savior died for us. No, our Savior died for us, but our Savior rose 3 days later. Our Savior ascended back to heaven. Listen, our Savior ever lives right now, Hebrews 7:25, to make intercession for us. The reason I can have a personal relationship and a personal fellowship with my Savior is because he's not dead. How many religious organizations can say that? Amen. Absolutely. Only one. By the way, my Savior died for my sin's penalty, but he lives to deal with my sin's power. You see, I don't have the power to overcome sin in and of myself and on my own. According to Hebrews 2, 17 and 18, according to Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, a great high priest, he ever lives to help me, to deliver me, to succor me in my temptations through this life. I could never make it. I could have never gotten as far as I've gotten in my life without the living Savior, amen, who's helped me and is helping me along this way, amen. That's why we can pray to him. That's why we can speak to him. We don't speak to a dead statue. We speak to a living God. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? I am he that was dead, he said in Revelation, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen? You see, if you're saved, you got the same Savior. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that lives for us. And by the way, thank God, he's the one that's coming for us. He's coming for us. Amen? Jesus is coming again. Amen? Boy, this has been said and it will be said. And by the way, this is our blessed hope, folks. This is our blessed hope. Our blessed hope. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our blessed hope. Amen. As Paul the Apostle struggled through life and ministry, he kept his eye on the sky. As he battled his own sinful nature, he kept his eye on the sky. He said, my citizenship in Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21, he said, my citizenship is in heaven, from whence cometh my Savior. Amen. He said, I look for him to come. He's going to change this vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his. He's coming again. We are not all going to sleep, but thank God we're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, but I'm going to tell you something. He said, the Lord's coming back. Amen. And he's going to lift us up that are saved. Amen. And we're going to reunite with our loved ones. Amen. Jesus told the disciples in John 14, he said, look, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a comfort. Amen. And that's the picture in the Old Testament of marriage. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, he gives you a dowry. He gives you a down payment. He gives you the Holy Spirit of God and says, I'm going to go out onto the Father's house, but I'm going to come back and pick you up because you're mine. Amen. You see, the common salvation means this. We all have the same salvation. We all have the same Savior. Here's another thought for you. We all have the same Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12:4, the Bible says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. By the way, he's the one that convicted us. Before a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God convicts them. John chapter number 16, verses 7 to 11 says that Jesus said, when I go, the Spirit of God's going to come and he is going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. The Spirit of God is in the ministry of knocking on the hearts of unsaved people. Amen. By the way, if you're saved, it's because the Spirit of God knocked on your heart one day. Amen. He convicted you and convinced you and I of our sinfulness and of our need for salvation. Amen. We have the same Spirit. He's the one that convicted us. By the way, he's the one that came into us at salvation. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Amen? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. See, the same Spirit, the Spirit of God that convicted us, the Spirit of God that came into us, and then also, He's the Spirit of God, listen, who comforts us. You've heard the term, the Comforter, right? In reference to the Holy Spirit. The Comforter means this, the one who helps us. The Spirit of God who lives inside of us helps us through this life, amen? Especially through the infirmities and the troubles and the trials and the struggles that we go through in this life, amen? We all have the same. We have a common salvation. We have the same Savior. We have the same Spirit. We have the same salvation. And then let me say this. We have the same Scripture. And I particularly refer to this book right here, amen? We have the same Scripture. By the way, this is the faith which was once delivered right here. And I'm so glad we have this book right here, amen? And I'm particularly, as you well know, I'm talking about this King James Bible, amen? Amen. We have the Scripture. You see, what Scripture is this? This is the one that's called the Holy Scriptures. This is a book that's above every book, amen? No doubt about it. This is what the Bible said. We read in Jude 3, the faith right here, amen? What book is this? This is the one that God revealed. This is what God revealed. This is what God inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, amen? The words of God come from the breath of God, amen? This is the book that's preserved for us as well. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but this book will never pass away. It'll last forever, amen? You and I have the same. We have the same salvation. We have the same Spirit. We have the same Savior. We have the same Scripture. And might I say this? We have the same struggles. We have the same struggles. Now, understand this. It might not be the exact thing you're going through, but it's guaranteed it's in the same family. Amen? Let me say this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation or test or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. We're all going through the same things. We're all in the same boat. Amen? No doubt about that, right? Listen to this verse in Philippians 1, 29 and 30. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only believe on Him, but also to suffer for His name's sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now see to be in me. Paul said, we're going through the same thing. Listen to this verse, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, Peter's saying, hey, you're going through something, but be mindful, everybody else is going through it too. Now, I understand. When we're going through what we're going through, we feel like we're the only ones going through it. Our brother Ralph said something earlier that I could have gotten into if had I read a little bit further in 2 Corinthians 1. And that is that many times we go through what we go through so that God can help us and that we can turn around and help those that are going through the same thing. Amen? We go through the same type of situations. Let me put it to you this way. We're all battling the flesh. We live in a day and we have churches to the point where, you know, you can't say that, brother. You got to be a super duper dynamite Christian. You got to be somebody that flesh doesn't even bother you anymore. Who in the world lives that way? I'll tell you, there are people that act like they live that way. We're all battling the flesh, folks. And let me say this, your flesh is not saved. Your flesh is not saved. You're saved. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You die, your soul is guaranteed going to heaven. But your flesh is still sinful. Paul said, in me, there's no good thing. Amen? Paul talked about his struggle in Romans chapter 7 about, I want to do right, but then I find this body. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You and I have a flesh that still opposes the word of God, the will of God. Amen? And this is our battle. This is our battle. We're all battling the flesh. That's a part of our struggle. Listen, we're all battling the world to some degree, to one degree or another. Amen? The influence of this world. And we're all battling the devil. We all have, by the way, every Christian, we all have common enemy, common enemies. Amen. The flesh, the devil, and the world. Amen. What I'm saying to you is we all have the same salvation. We all have the same Savior. We all have the same Spirit. We all have the same Scripture. We all have the same struggle. So here's my question. How can one man say, I wish I got what he got when he got saved? How can you say that? What is it? If everybody's got the same, but yet seemingly one person is more successful than another, well, it's not a matter of I wish I got the same thing. You know, the difference between a successful saint and a non-successful saint is not what they got. It's what they give. You think about that. The day you got saved and I got saved, we could have got in line and received the same everything from Jesus. The same everything. Now, what I do with what I got will determine my life. Amen. Can I? He should have said, man, I wish I would have gave what he gave when I got saved. Amen. Because you don't get anything different. But we all give differently, that's for sure. Amen. Let me conclude and come down and work my way down with this thought. If we all get the same, why are we not all the same? The answer is some give more than others. I believe successful believers are those who work harder at it. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, Paul said this, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Believers come in, believers sit down. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He works in all of our hearts. He works in all of our hearts. He's encouraging us. He's strengthening. He's helping. He's motivating. He's moving. We all don't do anything about it. Can I get a witness on that one? Why is it that one man will get up and he'll go out and he'll become a doer? This man will be blessed in his deed. We can all be hearers and we can all hear what God's doing. But today, if you hear him, harden not your heart. You understand that? I hear to God. I hear the word. I sense the Spirit of God working in my heart. I can say no and harden my heart to go further from the Lord. Or I can let him have his way with me. Amen? What I'm saying to you is successful believers, those who are better Christians, if I might. And by the way, there are better Christians. I do not say I'm better. God said, I'm getting rid of Saul, King Saul, and I'm going to give the nation a better man. And that better man was David. You understand that, right? And what I'm saying to you is, why is it that some Christians are better than other Christians? They're more faithful. They're more fruitful. They're more spiritual. They're working harder. They're working harder. They're working out what God is working in. Amen? This ought to provoke us. Amen? By the way, Paul was a dynamite Christian. Can I get a witness on that one? When you look and study the life of Paul, he's somebody we should aspire to be like. How many of us would say, well, I'm on the level of Paul? Can I get a witness? Well, hold on a minute. Well, what is Paul any more than what we are? Well, here's what Paul did. He worked out what he said. He admonished us to work out our own salvation, but he did that. In Acts 24, 16, he said, listen, I exercise myself. By the way, working out and exercise, that sounds the same, doesn't it? He said, I exercise myself always to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Let me tell you what Paul said. I work hard at trying to stay right between me and God and me and man. By the way, if you work hard at something like that and you do that, that'll make you a better Christian. Can I get a witness on that one? Paul the Apostle said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, that you ought to exercise yourself unto godliness. You know, you and I are not going to be godly people, get this, by accident. It's going to take work, isn't it? We're going to have to get into the book in order for the book to get into us, because this word in our hearts is what's going to make us what we ought to be. Amen? Let me give you another thought of what Paul said, and I'm not turning to scripture for the sake of time, but in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, Paul said, look, I'm in a fight. I'm in a race. I'm trying to win. And therefore, I keep under my body. I bring it in subjection. I don't want my body to control my life lest I be a castaway. In other words, he said, in the Christian race, I got to be diligent and I got to be temperate and I got to maintain. I got to keep this body going in the right direction. I'll put it to you in the proverb way. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Keep yourself going right. Amen. Hey, prone to wonder. Am I the only sinner in this joint? Prone to wonder. Prone to wonder. That's my sinful nature. Prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Amen? Paul knew. I got to fight this flesh. I want to say something real bad. I got to learn to bite my tongue. I heard one person said, I just say it because I don't feel like biting my tongue. You understand what I'm saying, Nito? I'm saying to you is we all get the same thing. We all get everything we need to be. In fact, put it this way. In Peter, it says we have everything that pertains to life and godliness. The moment we get saved, we get everything. What are we doing with what we have? Amen? Work out your own salvation. Successful Christians are those who work harder. And let me give you another thought. Successful Christians are those who war better. War better. They put up a better fight. Amen. Paul admonished Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18. He said, war a good warfare. Every Christian is a soldier, whether we like it or not. Amen. What kind of soldier we are, well, that is determined by us. You can war a good warfare, or you can become like Demas and forsake the warfare, having loved this present world. In Ephesians 6:12, where Paul encouraged them to put on the whole armor of God, he said, look, do all you got to do to stand in this battle. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he said, look, God has chosen you to be a soldier. Don't get tangled up with the affairs of this life, that you may please him who's chosen you to be a soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? As we go through the battles and struggles in this life, there's no doubt about it. Amen? By the way, Paul admonished us. But you know, Paul was an example. Where was his example found? In 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. Here's what Paul said. Look, he said to Timothy as he's ending his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen. You and I, we all got the same thing. What is going to be the difference between us being successful or not successful? We're going to have to work harder at our Christian life. Giving all diligence, 2 Peter 1, add to your faith. Giving all diligence means work at it. Amen. Work at it. We got to work harder. We got to war better. And then I'll close with this thought. We need to walk closer. Walk closer to the Lord. Amen? No doubt about it. Let me quote a verse for you and we'll close up. Joshua 1:8. Many of you are very familiar with scripture. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For thou shalt meditate day and night and observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, now listen to the next three words, thou shalt make. You get that? Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Thou shalt make? Yes. Your success as a Christian, your victory as a Christian, your growth as a Christian, all depends on you and me. Amen. The day that I got saved the day you got saved. We got everything. I don't have to say, I wish I would have got what he got. Look at the most dynamite Christian you can think of. You got the same thing. You got the same thing. Say to yourself, he's just doing more with what he got than I am. I want to start doing more. I want to start getting more into the Word and whatever it takes to become what God wants me to be. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for the Word today. Thank you for the gathering today. Father, thank you for the fact that the day that we got saved, we received everything that we need to be the kind of Christian that we ought to be. Personally, today, I can't say to this congregation, I'm the kind of Christian today that I ought to be. I know that I'm not, but I want to be a better Christian. And I know, thanks to you, I have everything I need, not in and of myself. I have everything I need because you've given me everything I need to be a better Christian. Help me to take what you've given me, the opportunity to speak to the Savior on a daily basis, the opportunity to have the Spirit of God work in my life because he's there, the opportunity to take the Word of God because I have it, the opportunity to work through the struggles of life and to become a better Christian. Dear Lord, please help me and help all my brothers and sisters in Christ who know that they can be better. And Lord, every one of us, if we have the right mind, understand there's always room for improvement in our own lives. If there's somebody in this gathering today that maybe they're here and they're not sure they're saved, they don't know that they received everything that we were talking about today, may they understand that at the end of our service, if anybody has any questions, they could come to me. They could speak to me. If they're a lady, I would guide them to a lady that would be able to share with them how to be saved. But if they're a man, I would love to speak to them about making sure they're saved. But my prayer is that every one of us believers that would be stirred and challenged to realize, I have everything I need. I just need to start doing something about it. Father, help us, we pray in this, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You have a song?
Thank you.
Let's have a closing word of prayer. Father, we thank you for what we've heard today. May we, as he's already said, be doers of your word, not hearers only. We pray that your Spirit guide us and direct us as to how we should live in this present evil world. Thank you for the opportunity to meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that as we travel to our destinations, that we would have safety. Help us to be back here at the next appointed time. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.